one who did the math, in one form or another, there's over 4,000 personal promises, whether it be nationally to Israel or personal to individuals throughout the Bible. Thousands of times that God goes on record in His Word and says in one form or another, I promise. He promised that He would send a Savior. And in the fullness of time, He fulfilled that promise. What would happen if everyone in this room began to stand on the Word and in faith claim and receive the promise? Did you hear this lady's testimony a while ago? With His stripes we're healed. He promised in His Word. In the Old Covenant, He said, I will, this is a promise, folks. I will put none of the diseases on you that have come upon Egypt. For I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's a promise. A covenant promise that is made. Now, sitting on the premises and listening to preaching on Sunday is not the same thing as standing on and claiming the promise of God. What is the land called of Canaan? It's called the Promised Land. He promised it to them. I brought you out, He said, promise, that I might bring you in. And yet there were several tribes that hadn't crossed over Jordan to claim what He had promised. And you know what Joshua said to them? How long will you be slack? You see, what happens when we don't stand upon the Word and claim the promises, God gets labeled as unfaithful. Yes, He does. It must be that God isn't answering. I don't know why God isn't fulfilling His promises. You know what He said about His Word where those promises are contained? He said, I watch over my Word to perform it. God is faithful. I question my faith, but I do not question His faithfulness. I question me often, but I've learned not, I have questions for Him, but I don't question Him. Hath He not said it? And will He not do it? Can you say amen? See, the Word of God, I don't know what's happening on that map. Some people don't care what's happening on that map. They just flat don't care that we're reaching people out of this little place. It's meaningless. But it's meaningful to me because God has opened a door to nations. And we're grateful for that door, Brother Sean. I remember when Sean walked in one Sunday morning and he said, well, it's official. We're international. Would you rather have 300 here or possibly millions out there of possible people we could reach? Their church is perfectly happy with the 300. Not Gideon's 300 either. Just give me 300 people, amen, and a secure income, and I'll be perfectly happy. Listen carefully. I'm so glad to know what happens when God sends His Word. We claim the Scripture, Psalm 107, verse 20, for the media and for the radio ministry. It says, God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. You know what happens when God sends His Word? When God is involved in the sending of His Word? Amen. You know what happens? My Word, regardless of where it goes, whether we see it or whether we don't, or see the direct result or don't. I was just so discouraged one day, and the Lord said, you know what happened? Am I sending my Word? Did y'all put this together? Is this a result of your human effort and human energy? Or did I open the doors? Am I doing it? I said, Lord, you're doing it all. You're doing it by your Spirit. He said, well, what did my Word say about me sending my Word? He said, my Word will not return to me. In other words, when I send it, it will not return to me void. It is like the rain that comes down out of heaven and the snow that watereth the earth and causes it, say cause and effect, and causes it to break forth and to bud, so shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will accomplish that I desire. Here it is. It will. Is this a promise that I'm reading you? Everywhere you turn, there's a promise. Amen. It will not return to me void. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. It will. Because why? Because he watches over it to perform it. Hallelujah. He does that. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Listen to me carefully. Promises. Anybody remember Sears catalog? Spiegel catalog? Montgomery Ward had a catalog. That's it. Who that? J.C. Penney still has a catalog. Amen. What do we call that? What do we call those catalogs? If you poll like I was. I'm looking for, she always grins when I say these things. I'm always looking for Sister Couch because she's always grinning. So there he goes. There he goes. Amen. We call it a wish book. It's a wish book. Told you 100 times the story. Pastor coming to visit a family and they're in the kitchen having coffee and he wants the, he didn't bring his Bible in. He said, you know, I'd like to show you this in the scripture itself, but I didn't bring my Bible in. And they told 5-year-old Johnny, run in the living room and get, because they had dusted off the Bible and put it on top of the coffee table in the living room because the pastor was coming. You know, they dusted off that old Bible and sit it up there on top shelf because pastor is coming. And so go in and get that book that we're always reading. And he run in the living room and come back with the Sears catalog. Amen. It's a promise book. It's a wish book, not a promise book. When you pick up the Bible, it's not a wish book. It's not wishful thinking. It's not saying, boy, I wished I lived back in Bible days. The Word of God is contemporary. The Word of God is current. Amen. The Word of God is going to stand as the world passes. The Word still stands. Can you say amen? Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But my Word will abide forever. Hallelujah. And so everywhere I turn in scriptures, I see a promise. Fear not. I am thy God, he says to Israel. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I just love, Brother Taylor, the way God talks. Because I listen to preachers that mince words. They're afraid to cross over into the land of standing and receiving. Because so many are not receiving. We're having to alter the gospel to accommodate the unbelief and the doubt. The absolute defeat that is plaguing so many Christians. I'm glad I just changed doctors because I mentioned God to my doctor when I finally went to a doctor. Amen. And when I started talking about how God, he said, oh, you've got to do this. He's just so full of fear for me and I'm full of faith in God at that particular point. And when I told him what God did about my stroke, he said, well, listen, we don't want to push the envelope. In other words, don't. I don't want to even hear about God. We just don't. And I've done. I changed, you know, from the plan I was on to where I could pick my doctor because I'm gonna pick a doctor to listen to me when I talk about the Lord, or I'm not flat out showing up. Amen. Somebody's gonna have to not just come against everything I say about God because they can't do too much. To be honest with you. They can do something, and every good and perfect gift comes down. I'm not against physicians. But let me tell you something. Listen to it carefully today. When you have a promise from God, don't start looking for a person. Look to God. Trust in God. Have faith in God. That don't mean don't go to the doctor, but don't let him. I've seen people that their symptoms. We prayed for a lady that had cancer, and her symptoms left completely. She went back and told her doctor. And her doctor, he said, well, let's continue the chemo because, you know, he didn't give God any credit for anything. She was symptom free. But he wouldn't accept that God had intervened in her life. And of course, she went with him. And she did not die of cancer itself. But becoming so weakened by the continuation of heavy chemo that she got pneumonia and died. She couldn't resist it. Oh, they say the cancer killed her because ultimately it was all because of that. The symptoms were gone. When the symptoms are gone, It's not time to get another diagnosis. It's time to rejoice and give God glory. Give Him praise. That don't mean don't go to the doctor. Don't get x-rayed and don't have what you need. But when God steps in and it broke my heart, I said, oh Lord, we had a miracle here. What more do we want? The symptoms are gone. He don't believe it, but let God be true. At some point, you have to let God be true and every man become the one that you question. So I got off a HMO and got on a PPO this year. That means I get to pick my doctor. Larger copay, worth every penny. Because I'm not going to a doctor that's going to just, and I don't mean just, you know, close off. I'm talking about literally speak up and every time I said something in faith, say something against faith. I can't handle that. I don't operate that way. What would happen if the Bible wasn't just a wish book? What would happen if it became a literal promise book? What would happen in the area of our spiritual life? What would transform in our life if we started by faith in His integrity, in His faithfulness, in His power, obtaining every single promise that He has made to us? See, the Bible said this is the confidence that we have in Him in 1 John. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petition. We know that we have it. And we start claiming it by faith, just like you're doing right. You're doing the exact right thing. You don't have to quit going to the doctor, but just stand. Just tell him, I'm believing God and I'm looking for Him to heal me. Brother Taylor went with a bleeding polyp. They couldn't operate. They couldn't do anything. They just, it was a given that it was cancerous. That's why it was bleeding. And he had to go back then to see what to do about it. Passing blood every day. Listen, but standing on a promise of God. And when he went back, not only was it not bleeding, it was not there. The polyp was gone. You can argue with a lot of theological thoughts, but you can't argue with a miracle. Oh, you can, and they do, but in reality, it's foolish to argue with results. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise. I love, you see, there's a movement afoot right now, and there's a whole group of preachers, and they're good theologians as far as explaining many parts of the Bible. But there's a movement underfoot right now, and they call themselves a whole group that covers many different aspects of Christianity. Cessationist. You know what cessationists are? You're going to hear more and more and more. If you go online, you're going to find out there's a strong movement against any supernatural. After the apostles, and I do not understand what these men do when they teach on prayer. Why pray? If the supernatural is over, if God does not intervene in the normal course of human affairs anymore, why pray at all? How do you teach on prayer if you don't believe in the supernatural intervention of God? Actually, what it is an attack on the abuses and extremes that have come out of the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, and they are out there, and I do not defend them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When we start saying there is no more healing, there is no more miracles, there is no more deliverance, and we staff our churches with psychologists and psychiatrists, amen, instead of people that can give us God's counsel and tell us how to stand on His word, can you say amen? Then the church is in the same condition of the world. Asa saw an army come up against him. Innumerable. 1 million standing army. That's almost unimaginable. And 300 chariots. He saw this array against him. And he put his trust in God. And God supernaturally delivered them. Supernaturally intervened. Everybody say miracle.
Miracle.
Miracle. Webster's Dictionary. The simplest form. Just a sentence. A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. If God does anything to intervene, miracles are occurring. Whether they be small or large, miracles are occurring. Praise God. Amen? When God healed me of leukemia, it's a miracle. When I was in a 58 Buick and my daddy was interceding for me, this one of big old Buicks. I mean, it was a big old top-heavy Buick. And I was doing about 70 miles an hour, not on an interstate. This is on Highway 92 before they built the interstate. And a truck stopped dead. Semi-tractor trailer stopped in front of me. And I come around a curve and there he was. And I hit my brakes and that thing went to spinning across both lanes of Highway 92, spinning round and round like a top. I knew as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, God intervened in that thing flipping over, crushing me, killing me, me ramming into that thing, getting decapitated or whatever would happen when it tore the roof off and I went under that semi-tractor trailer. Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know God has intervened over and over and over and over and over. And I'm not talking about way back then. I'm talking about right here and now. And a move against miracles is a move against God himself. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me. Amen. We will not. There's a danger. There's a danger. There was a danger in the book of Acts that the gospel would not get out of Jerusalem because of the persecution. And they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings. Amen. By stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they are prayed, when they had prayed, the place wherein they had gathered was shaken. Can you say, man, the power of God said, that's what I want to do. That is what I want to hear. That is something I can act on. Can you say, man? And he did, because the next verse said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. They didn't just preach it. There was power to prove it. Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said they didn't just preach it. There was power to prove it. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. A bleeding polyp that doesn't exist anymore without surgery. Who cut it out? God did it. Hallelujah. God did it. Wow, the thread is here today. But here's where we stop short. And I love this man, and I love to hear him speak. And he encourages pastors. He's a lawyer, and he defends Christian cases all the way to the White House and the Supreme Court. You might know Jay Sekulow is one of them. Now there's another lawyer and another organization. And Gibbs, very good speaker. And he told us preachers, listen carefully, and I love him, but here's where we got these stopping points in the Word. When it comes to faith and obtaining promises, we screech to a halt. We're very strong till we get to that point, and then we put on the brakes. Boy, I was getting excited. He was talking about this window of opportunity that is open here in America to proclaim the Word. Still preach the whole counsel. And how there are forces at work politically and spiritually to try to close that to where there's certain items in the Bible that we can't speak about publicly without courting being put in prison or sued or losing our tax credit. And I'm going to tell you something. They can take our tax credit, because if I can't preach the whole counsel of God, amen, in the United States of America, where everybody can preach whatever their philosophy, whatever their lifestyle is, they can proclaim it on every street corner, amen, and the day that the gospel can't be proclaimed, you might as well to cuff me and take me away. I'm fully prepared. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. It's not only the threat that's that way, but the threat of people leaving churches that declare the truth. Just go to a church where they don't preach the truth. You won't be convicted there. You'll never feel conviction. They're not going to deal with those issues that bring conviction. See, people hug my neck and say they love me, but they don't love Christ. They don't love Jesus. You say, how do you know? Because they won't follow him. They put on the brakes when it comes to taking up the cross and denying self. Listen carefully. So this wonderful man that I love and pray for, but he's part of that group that put on the brakes. So he said, the scripture said, behold their threatenings. He quoted what I quoted to you. But listen where it stops. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. Put it in neutral, as far as you go. You boldly proclaim the word. Boldly proclaim the word. Boldly proclaim the word. Is that all there is? Does God not have to do something, want to do something? Did not they pray for God to do something? If they boldly proclaim the word, does the word itself, in and of itself, is that enough to counteract this threat? On top of Carmel, there was a power struggle going on. And you know what Elijah said to settle the issue? You say your God is the true God. I'm declaring that my God is the only God and the true and living God. And they said, well, see, that can banter back and forth all day long. And the threat is that the Jewish religion has just put them in with all the other world religions. Let it just become one more world religion. Man's philosophy. A God created by man instead of the God who created man. And you know what Elijah said? He said, let the God that answers by fire. Let the God that manifests himself. Let the God that answers prayer. Because he prayed in order for God to move. Can you say amen? God didn't just move because he saw a need. He moved because Elijah prayed. And here's the good news. God wants to move. So the question today is not where is the God of Elijah. The question today is where are the Elijahs of God? For the New Testament said, oh, you know what Elijah did? He said, Lord, he saw the threat. He said, I'm going to put myself out here on faith and I'm going to put you on the spot. I believe that you're real. So let the God that answers by fire, let the God that answers a specific prayer, let the God that manifests himself visibly be declared the true and living God. And he said, you go first. So here come the prophets of Baal from sunup to sundown, afternoon. They literally cried unto their false God. And nothing happened. Nothing. And they got so frustrated. And Elijah got so bold. Can you say, man? He got so bold. You know what he said? Maybe your God is tired and he's taking a nap. Maybe he's hungry and he went out to eat. Because he sure ain't listening to you right now. And you know what the Lord told him? He said, if I'm going to show myself strong, I want you to make it so hard for me that they'll have to give me credit for what I'm about to do. I want you to put an offering ready to be offered. And I want you to douse it with water until it is soaked through and through. And I want you to dig a ditch around the altar that you're offering it on. And I want you to fill the ditch with water. I want to make sure when I do this, nobody says it was spontaneous combustion. Nobody says, oh, lightning hit that thing. No. It's a clear day. It's soaked with water. There's a ditch around it. And then a short paragraph of prayer. Lord, let them know that at thy word, I'm acting on your word. I'm acting on your word. I'm not just doing my thing. I'm acting on your word. That's important. In fact, that's crucial. Can you say amen? I'm acting on your word. At thy word, I brought this sacrifice. I put it on the altar. I doused it with water. I dug the ditch. I filled it with water. And you know what? God kept a promise to he said, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Everybody say a promise. Call on me, and I will show you great and mighty. Great and mighty in church, when we're so good at doing church, or so organized, so filled with programs, everything goes off so beautifully. We hear a little bit of word, we get a little bit of worship, and we get a little bit of time, and we all go home and live in our misery. And live with unanswered prayer. And when they're not answered, of course, it's God who didn't will it. Insurance companies picked up on the church's attitude. Something comes and destroys your home. What is it? It's an act of God. WKRP in Cincinnati, a series about a radio station in Ohio, in part of the Eastern Tornado Alley. he said, you know, there's a tornado in a trailer park, and the announcer on the radio station will go, and it's really tearing that place up. Of course, you know, trailers are more vulnerable to high winds. And he said, well, you know, God hates trailers. No, God don't hate trailers, and God don't hate people. Amen. Jesus came to do something. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Can you say amen? That were oppressed by who? The devil. Oppressed by who? The devil. The thief came to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come. That's got to make a difference. Christ came, died on the cross, rose again, came back in the Holy Spirit to stay with us till he comes to get us. Hallelujah. But I came to give you life, and to give it to you like nobody else can have it. Eternal life in the spirit, but a blessed life in the physical. And that more abundantly. Can you say amen? So the cessationist and some high-ranking preachers and teachers and people that teach on Moody, and I don't know how long Moody's going to put up with it, because after a while, you got to take a stand somewhere and say, hey, we're asking you to pray that we get a new tower and that the money come in. Well, the cessationists say God can't move in the supernatural, because if he does, that died with the last apostle. We've got the word. It's complete. We don't need that. Honey, the gospel's in a threat today, just like it was threatened then. Christianity is in under the threat of becoming recategorized as just another one of the many world religions, with nothing to distinguish it from Buddhism, from any of the other isms that are out there. Amen. Are you listening to me? But there's a revival going on in South America right now. There's a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in South America. Thank God Billy Graham is not a cessationist, that it's ceased. Because some years ago, we're really going on 20 years ago now, World Congress on Evangelism in Holland, pastors, ministers, missionary organizations from all over the world came to Holland to hear him speak to them about evangelizing the world. A premier preacher that's been all over the world had an audience with kings and presidents to share Christ. And he said there's a mighty revival of souls coming into the kingdom in South America. And it is largely the result of the efforts of the Pentecostal movement there. Why? because God, they had been steeped in a dead religious ritualistic system. And suddenly they discovered this God is real. He answers prayer. He helps when you call upon Him. And so many people left Catholicism. And we're not just down on Catholicism. We're down on dead religion wherever we find it. Did you hear me? I said dead. Even if it's in you, we're down on that in you. We like it to be real. There's dead Pentecostal churches. Christ talked about the deadness in churches that once had a reputation for the power and presence of God when the word was preached. He said, thou hast a name that liveth in the book of Revelation. Your name represents all the life and abundance of God. But you're dead. You're dead. That's why we need revival, because revival is the breathing of life into a body that threatens to become a corpse. And I don't care how high the steeple is, how beautiful the church is, how many people attend, how great the choir sing, or how wonderful the preacher preaches. If God doesn't show up, it's dead. It's dead. It's dead. There was dead religion when Jesus came. Can you say, man? He said, he said, you're a sepulcher. Amen. What is supposed to be the life-giving testimony of God became a tomb for a dead religion. He said, you make it your whited sepulchers, your whitewashed sepulchers, tombs. Inside is full of dead men's bones. That's why they said crucify him, because he came and contradicted a dead, oppressive religious system. Amen. Void of love and void of power. But since God couldn't move in and through the church, once a year at the pool of Bethesda, he let his people know, it may not be in the church, but you come out here to this pond where they haven't regulated me to ancient history. Angels going to come once a year from heaven and remind you that there's a God that sits up on the throne. Amen. That is still relevant. That still wants to move today. And when he troubled that water, whoever got in it first, amen, got the miracle. They said, listen, there are miracles occurring today. Something is happening over there. Jesus came to a man, because if you couldn't get in it first, that was it. Only one. Only one. But when Jesus come, the floodgates opened. When Jesus come, the floodgates opened. Oh. Open the floodgates of heaven. Can you say, man, the floodgates open? He came to a man sitting there that had come year after year, but he couldn't make it because he couldn't walk. He couldn't drag himself. He couldn't outrun somebody with a big cancer or tumor. They could outrun him to the water. They got their miracle. He's sitting there depressed and dejected, and Jesus opened the floodgates of God's grace and mercy. Jesus walked up to him and he said, would you be made whole? Thank God he hadn't heard a message from a cessationist that said the miracles are over. What do? When you start teaching on it, pray. Praying for your loved ones. Pray. It all involves the supernatural. No man. You can't even get people saved without the supernatural. Sign on to your philosophy, your belief, even though it's right. They don't just join your religious system. They come to this living Savior. No man comes to me because of good preaching in and of itself, but except my Father draw him. He wouldn't have come if God hadn't drawn him, because he was ready to run the other way. But God put a hook in his jaw just like a big old fish and reeled him in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's supernatural. That is not just the work of man or a man-made religion. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me carefully. So, Brother Gibbs, whom I love and pray for and I love to hear speak, but here's where we all, and you can stay in agreement to a point. And I'm in full agreement. Preachers need to boldly proclaim the word like never before we lose the opportunity to do that right here in America. There's danger. The gospel is threatened. And it's not just threatened by laws of the land that are being passed and lobbyists that are trying to get more passed. It's threatened by the deadness in churches. Because unless there is evidence to confirm that our God is the true and living God. And I know the argument. The unbeliever seeketh a sign. This is not about what the unbeliever is demanding. This is about what the believer is declaring. These signs shall follow them, irrespective and irregardless of the unbelievers. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Some unbelievers, they won't believe even if they see it. They're so determined not to believe. They demand that God do something on command. God is not at anyone's command, but He has put Himself at our disposal. Hallelujah. Here's where it came up short. Amen. I was a lone wolf, and the more I'm around a lot of situations, I may become a lone wolf again. I am not going to capitulate. Amen. I am not going to give in. I am not going to give up on miracles. I'm not going to give up on answered prayer. I'm not going to give up on God coming through. If you bring a child to me that is dying, I want to see a miracle occur. I don't want to see that child die. I want Brother Taylor to live out his days. I want him to teach and preach the gospel until God calls him home. I want to see Sister Taylor healed. Amen. I want to see that cancer dead in your throat. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. Because I have a promise-keeping God. Say, Brother Venable, you can't possibly know His will. Not all of it. But if He made a promise, then He must will it to happen, or He wouldn't have went on record with a promise. Yeah. Hath He not said it? And shall He not do it? Will God be unfaithful to His own promise? So, they knew how to pray. They didn't put on the brakes. Because if you don't allow for the supernatural, you can't quote the rest of that scripture. Particularly when there's preachers in the audience that are cessationist. They don't believe that God does these things because there's such a vacuum for God answering prayer in the church. That's why we need the testimonies of answered prayer to come forth. The Bible said to publish His doings. When God does something, publish it among the people. Let everybody know what God is doing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Did you know that Jesus, part of the evangelism of the Islamic world, is taking place because of supernatural phenomena today? There are people who were so steeped in radical Islam, but they had a vision of Jesus. Jesus came to them. You say Jesus came to them? Yeah. Did you know something? The greatest theologians and the greatest teachers and preachers that are around, without God, we're up against something that we can't handle. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men. We've got something to tell them, but without God opening the eye of the blind. This is not just physical blindness. This is spiritual blindness. I had met the Lord at 12 years old. The scales fell. I knew He was real. I knew I was lost, and I got saved. My mom and dad divorced. I got bitter, and I went through years of just bitterness and staying away, using every excuse in the world. But I knew in my heart of hearts, because it was by revelation. It wasn't mama, it wasn't daddy, it wasn't doctrine in and of itself. I knew. And God chose to use the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching to save them that are lost, but preaching without the Spirit of God, preaching without God working in the human heart is just that. It's intellect to intellect, and this is a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And when you delete the Holy Spirit from the process, then Christianity will become a name that lives. But as far as any manifest presence or power, is dead. And for all practical purposes, God's covenant children, the inheritors of the promises of God, become until we go to heaven as hopeless and helpless as the world about us. In fact, Satan will attack us to try to refute the witness to the world. There are people out in the world that don't know God and don't want to know Him, faring better than many Christians today. You don't have to amen that. It's truth anyway. Happier than many Christians in their false hope. There's a man in his boat today out fishing in the Gulf. He's having an affair, and no one's found out about it yet. He's got a job. His business is thriving. He don't give God the credit for anything. He's got a cooler full of booze. He's got a house in a gated community. And he feels like he's on top of the world. And there are people sitting in God's house. Depressed. Oppressed. Feeling hopeless and helpless. And that is what God wants to change. Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Because of God-given victory, be ye steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because here's what got me up out of that depression, amen, and that discouragement, amen. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's a promise. It is a promise. If I could find my glasses, I'll finish this sermon. Here they are. The wise man took it. He's aging. Here's where it stops short. Hebrews, Acts chapter 4, a miracle has occurred. Just mark the whole chapter and read it. A miracle has occurred. A lame man that sat at the gate beautiful, begging. He knows Christians are benevolent. Christians will bless him and help him. There was no food stamp system, welfare system. You people's benevolence or you starve to death. And he was sitting waiting as they went into the temple to worship, to the church the New Testament church had formed. And Peter and John are walking by. And they see him, and he saw them, listen, expecting. What? Expecting to receive something from them. His expectation was at that point that they would put a coin in his cup and help him not to starve to death. He never had walked. He was a character that everyone knew, and they saw him every day begging so he could get bread. And Peter, see, he had something. A lot of us come to church without. He had a spirit of expectation. I got a birthday card for my son 1 year. I got it for him. I forget which. We get these funny ones for each other. And it says, I know one funny one said, my wife and I both work together on your present. I licked it and she stamped it. But the one I got from him was, don't expect anything on the outside. And on the inside, there was this kind of half grin and said, and you will not be disappointed. Can you say amen? And the singer, what was his name? Come on, old school, got to help me here. Nothing from nothing, leave nothing. Billy Preston. Yeah, he's got a particular touch on the piano. Nothing from nothing, leaves nothing. Can you say amen? God, without our faith, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? People would ask something to Jesus, and he would ask them for faith. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this thing? They said, yay, Lord. He said, then be it unto thee according to thy faith. I got the power. Have you got the faith to believe me for it? Will you trust me? Will you stand on my word? Will you claim my promise? How long will you be slack to cross over into the land that the Lord thy God hath given you? Because once he said it, as far as he's concerned, it's ours. He said, here is the perimeters. Here's where I want you. This is my promise. This is the promised land. He gave them the perimeters. Oh, he said to the river Euphrates this way, to this line this way, that have I given you. If there's an army there, it's going. If there are giants there, they're falling. Oh, if there's a river that's over its banks, it's going to part. The Red Sea part to get you out, Jordan's going to part to let you in. Oh! Oh, you're going to make me preach this morning. I'd rather be here than with a bunch of cessationists. What can I tell them to give them any hope? A God who is not relevant anymore. Because your preacher has a PhD. And he'll tell you all the correct theology. But he really don't know his God. You know why? Because they that do know their God will be strong. And the whole book of Acts. Woo! The what of the apostles? The Acts of the apostles. They that do know their God will be strong and take action. Do exploits. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. And taking him by the wrist and lifting him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, as he said, in the name of Jesus. Woo! Don't make me shout and tear all this up. I worked too hard to put it up. But it'd be worth it to have victory, to have victory, to have victory, to have victory. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Woo! In my name you will tread on serpents. Behold, I give you power and authority over all the power of the devil. That's why we tread on serpents. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Promises from a person that can be trusted with your soul. He certainly can be trusted with your life as well. David inspired us. He told us, he also got us righteously indignant with holy anger against what the movement to quench and squash Christianity and cause Christianity to be regulated, relegated into one more world religion. That was the issue on Carmel. You got a God, we got a God. You got your prophets, we got our prophets. You got a book, so have we. Amen. Well, Elijah said, the God that I'm talking about distinguishes himself. He wants to distinguish himself. God never loses power encounters. He always wins them because He is the true and the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the God that answers by fire, amen, when you've done what God said, amen. He said, Lord, I let them know that at thy word, I'm acting on your word. My faith is based on acting on your word. Hallelujah. That I did all of this at your word, at your command, and immediately fire fell. And consumed the sacrifice and lapped up the water in the ditch. Prophets of Baal had just got done cutting their flesh and making themselves bleed to try to get a manifestation. Amen. And nothing happened. But when the true and living God came, nobody had to go through all that mess. They just declared Him to be who He is. Amen. Obeyed His word by faith, and God answered by fire. Now here's the good news. In the New Testament, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as you are. We think he was some kind of super faith guy. No, he was very vulnerable. Because after all of that happened, what happened to him? To show he was just like us. He got a letter from the head honcho what in charge. It wasn't the king either. Beware of the man who says he's the head of his house. He may tell other lies. Anyway, moving right along. Jezebel. She held the king like a puppet. She was wicked. She was evil. And she held power. And Elijah saw the miracle. But when he got the letter from Jezebel, he got his eyes off of God. He went into fear because she said, tomorrow I'm going to see that you are slain. You're going to die. I'm going to find you. I'm going to send my military after you. And you're going to be a dead duck. And he went into the cave. And in that cave, oh, I can imagine if we could find that cave, it would say Elijah was here. And the good news is, he was there, but he didn't stay there. But to show he was like us, he had those battles with doubt, battles with fear. Amen? This guy that saw all of that, he was still a human being. He saw the supernatural, but he did not become supernatural. And he was in that cave of despair and discouragement. He was emaciated and about to die. Because he's afraid they're going to kill me if I come out. And he looks for God. And he can't find God anywhere. He thinks he's in a forest fire. He's not in the fire. He thinks he's in the thunder. He's not in the thunder. He's looking for manifestations and nothing is happening. While he's sitting in there about to die, a still, small voice begins to speak to him. Elijah! It's amazing how loud a still small voice can be, especially when you're in a pickle. Can you say amen? But instead of saying, Elijah, you stood for me. I've come to let you know I'm going to take care of you, honey babe. No, you know what he said? Elijah, what are you doing in there? Not just in the cave, but in this state of mind. And Elijah was ready to talk to God, wasn't he? He said, I'm the only prophet left in all of Israel that is jealous for you. I want you to know that. And I want you to know there's a price on my head. And as soon as I come out of here, they're going to kill me. But God encouraged him. And God brought him out of that cave. And because he was weakened, heaven's resources were his. God sent an angel with a meal. And he ate of that meal and went on the strength of it for 40 days. Elijah was here, but he's not there. Remember Kilroy was here? They used to ride it after World War I and II. Amen. You'd go over in the middle of nowhere and go where ain't nobody ever been, look like, and there's a on a rock says Kilroy was here. Amen. Yeah, and the guy with the nose and he's holding up. You remember old school. We got to teach you guys one of these days. Amen. There's stuff that's way over your head. Listen, listen, the church of Jesus Christ has been in that cave too long. We fear popular opinion. The politicians that go to church fear not getting elected again. Amen. We got presidents that have been in there that were afraid to stand up for what they know the Bible teaches. Amen. And we question whether they ever were Christian. If they ever were, they sure not standing up for any Christian principle. This is not about elections. This is about God. And this is about the true church. And this is about Christians coming alive in Jesus Christ. And not being full of dead men's bones. It's about children being healed instead of dying prematurely. I don't want to hear when a victory is lost that God is gathering flowers for the master's bouquet. I'm killing kids so he can look how pretty they are. That's baloney. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come. I'm so glad my dad took me to church. And I'm so glad the church I was in wasn't full of cessationists. And I'm glad it wasn't full of dead Christians. Can you say amen? That wasn't excited and didn't have a spirit of expectancy. Where did we stop? We stopped with Brother Gibbs stopping short. And some of you were real happy to get into the politics of it and rah, rah, rah. Listen, if you stop short, then you're on the other side of the River Jordan. You're outside of Canaan. You're not in the promised land. So the promises of God cannot be yours and cannot be claimed. I love what David said. It excited me. I thought if he says the rest of it, there were 150 pastors there. I thought if he finishes this scripture, I'm liable to shout. Oh yeah, they know me at our table where I meet. I say, you keep talking that way, I'm going to shout right here in spite of everything. If I don't run and jump or do something, I'm going to bust. I'll just have to go outside. Excuse me while I go in the bathroom. Come back out. Can you say amen? I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you're mighty. You're wonderful. Hallelujah. If somebody say, boy. Come on. Come on. This is real. I'm so glad when y'all come to see me in the hospital, a bunch of cessationalists didn't walk in. They say, what do you want at your funeral? Who you want to do it? I'm glad when you came in, Brother Taylor said, I know he's okay. Because everything was up in the air when y'all got there. As far as recovering from what I'd went through. But Brother Taylor come in and quoted a scripture. He quoted that scripture, turn me on. Hey, didn't it, Brother Taylor? Praise God. I'm laying there and my hair is all, I don't have this kind of hair in there. If you're laying in the floor and they bust you in there and put you in a room, it don't look this way anymore. My breath is bad. My hair is messed up. I got on a hospital gown. I'm going to tell you something. This is a whole, I show better in this than a hospital gown. Believe me. My beard was not groomed. I looked kind of pale and peaked. But he quoted a scripture. There is a river. God is our refuge and strength. And when he said that, we got into the Bible promises. There is a river whose streams thereof make glad the city of God. And I felt that river flowing to me. Hallelujah. I felt it flowing to me. Praise God. And I said, did you know the history of that scripture? Amen. Israel's under siege. And they're not letting them have any water. And they feel like they're going to die of thirst, have to give in, give up, and open the gates and let the enemy take over. But what they didn't know was there was an artesian well. There was a spring outside the city. Amen. Hidden under the undergrowth. And they had dug a viaduct. And they had run, amen, a pipeline into the city. And all the fresh water, cool water coming out of that spring was running down that viaduct and coming up in the midst of the city. And they said, they think they got us. They're going to starve us out. We're going to die of thirst, and we're going to open the gates and capitulate and beg for mercy. But there is a river whose streams thereof make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. And I got to preaching on that bed, and Brother Taylor said, he all right. Hallelujah. He's okay now. We don't have to pray and intercede anymore. God's got it. He's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Brother Gibbs said, and I love him, but I can't walk with him. He can't walk with me where I'm going because he put on the brakes at a point. And we got to get the brakes off if we want to see God answer the prayer that he's quoting out of Acts chapter 4. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may proclaim thy word. He stopped right there, put it in neutral. And the issue was, while we have the opportunity, let's boldly proclaim it. But listen, they said, if we're going to boldly proclaim it, if we're going to say everything you said is true, every promise is yea and amen, that Jesus is raised from the dead, can you say amen just like he said? Then God, you're going to have to do something. Can you say amen just like Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed in the will of God. God shut the heavens for 3 years. And he prayed again, and God opened the heavens because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What makes it effectual is that we pray and we believe when we are praying. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, thou shalt receive. Can you say amen? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Even though you're weak and you're vacillated and you go through valleys, God is faithful. Hallelujah. So I thought, if he quotes the rest of this, I'm gonna have a conniption right here. And you won't have to wonder what background or ilk I'm from. They'll know I'm Pentecostal. They start talking good about God from other denominations, and I start getting excited. I get excited. They can tell you, we know you. They say, we know you. We know. Because they see the twinkle in my eye. Amen. I get up at 6 in the morning to go anywhere. After working a second shift for 12 years to where I was afternoon, get home late at night and sleep until the afternoon, I'm going to tell you, everything's changed. Get up at 6 in the morning, I've got 4 hours maximum sleep. I'm bleary-eyed. Coffee don't help. Amen. I just bleary-eyed. But when they start talking about something about God, I come alive. Something within me rises up. Can you say amen? Would you like to hear the rest of that scripture in Acts 4? Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of, to hear the whole thing quoted and hear the whole church say yea and amen. Hallelujah. We want to see God come through. We want to see, not to make us believe, but because we believe. Hallelujah. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, God got excited. Woo! and the place wherein they prayed, the room began to shake under the power of Almighty God. And they spake the word of God with boldness and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You go in a Pentecostal church, whether it be Assembly of God, Church of God, amen, whether it be Pentecostal Church of God, you go in a Pentecostal church, you could be assured somebody's going to get healed in that place. Some devil's going to get cast out in that place. Somebody's going to get set free, amen, from alcohol and drug addiction in that place. The power of God is going to manifest. There was a time, but it's not guaranteed anymore. Can you say, man, Jesus said, thou hast a name that lives. Your name represents the very life of God. But you're dead. You're living on a past history instead of a present reality. And I thought, in a mixed audience of preachers, you can't declare the whole truth. And that's why the church has had to subsidize with every kind of entertaining choir, entertaining preaching, programs so laden with programs that you are active 6 days a week with something going on that's fun and to keep you coming to church. And if somebody comes along and somebody gets healed, before even checking them out, people come from all over the state of Florida, all over the United States of America, and fly in from other countries. There's such a vacuum in the church for the power and presence of God. And there are people that God moves right here and works miracles. And they head for other churches to hear the choir. To hear the choir. But God help them if they ever need a miracle. And to have the fun. You start flowing in the Spirit, it beats fun. Hallelujah. Yes, it does. What'd you say? I didn't know what. There's no substitute. There's nothing that can replace it. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can you say amen? Nobody. No program. Nothing going on at church. If he's not there and I can't get in his presence, I haven't been to church. I've been to a religious institution that has a name that represents life. But inside is full of dead men's bones. And that's the dead religious system that Jesus found. And when he exposed it, they wanted him dead. They wanted him dead more than Pilate didn't want him dead. But he gave in to the will of the people and the fear of Caesar. Caesar didn't want him dead. The news hadn't got to Caesar about all of this. If Pilate hadn't punished him, then they would have appealed to Caesar and got Pilate in trouble. It wasn't Caesar's Rome. It wasn't Pilate as the representative of Rome. It wasn't, you know who it was? It was the highest ranking religious body. The Sanhedrin, the priest of God with their vestments, because he exposed the dead religious system for what it was, a dead religious system. You know what he told them about their evangelistic efforts? You can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. Proselyte is a conversion to your faith. Which was the proper faith, but they were not right. And when you do, because they were dead, there's no salvation in it anymore. You make him twice the child of hell as you are. You're going to hell and you're going to drag them with you. A dead church is a dangerous thing. Because it's going to give people a false sense of security. That only can come by the Spirit of God. You didn't hear me. I said a dead church is a dangerous thing. Those people would join it. That's why there's going to be people stand in the presence of Christ as judge. And say, Lord, Lord, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, how dare they call him Lord? No man can just mouth those words without the Holy Spirit working in his life and revealing Jesus. No man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. We got people just mouthing words and telling them they're saved. Jesus is not Lord of anything. Jesus, in fact, is not Lord at all. Can you say, man? But they've been baptized in water, told they're saved. Their name is on the book. But listen, it's not our claim on him. It's his acknowledgement of us. They said, Lord. He said, I'm not your Lord. Depart from me. You that work iniquity, you live in absolute sin, unconvicted, unrepentant, and you claim me as your Lord? Well, the church told me. Honey, your church ain't going to be the one you stand before. Church can't get you into heaven. The church can't keep you out if you're saved. Thank God for both. Because some churches keep you out if you wasn't part of them. But if you belong to Jesus, so Lord, I have not eaten a meal in the past almost year that I haven't prayed. And my wife can verify this. I don't care if it's a hamburger. I don't care if it's a big meal, a little meal. I don't eat breakfast, lunch, or some meal, a meal. I tied it to a meal. I said, Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Why? Because we need his help, and he needs a people that will believe him so that he can confirm to this doubting world. The gospel is threatened. The church is threatened. Ministers are divorcing at a rate that is alarming. Amen. We have caught up with the world who doesn't know God nor serve God. We have caught them. We've caught them. We're not living in a victory. And we're editing the gospel to accommodate our defeat. To accommodate it. You have to sin every day. Everybody knows that. So why try to live righteously? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm just talking about overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me read this and we'll quit. Hebrews 11:32 says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Say it with me, obtained promises. Now what's important here is what happened right after they started obtaining the promises. Right here in sequence, holy biblical sequence. What happened when they started obtaining promises? Stop the mouth of lions. What? Stop the mouth of lions. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Does that sound like the dismal, discouraged, defeated, unexpectant, unenthusiastic church on Sunday morning? Does that sound like it? What happened when they obtained promises? Out of weakness, through faith in what? in his person and the promises that he made. Out of weakness, they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. They fought the good fight of faith and they won. My wife is right now reading Psalm 91. And you know what it is? It's a promise of absolute protection to the person who will put their trust in God and his person and promises. Because thou hast made the Lord thy God. Am I right, Sister Venable? Because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation. And under his wing. This is personal. This is going to have to get personal, guys. Come on. This is going to have to get down to your life. What's happening in your life. Because thou hast made. Because you decided. It's not about what God decides. He's decided to take care of you. It's your decision to put your trust in him. And believe him. Because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation. Not where you just run when the trouble comes, but where you live day in and day out. And under his wings. Thou art come to trust. Oh, you're going to make me preach 5 more minutes and it's all your fault. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Woo! There shall no evil befall thee. We pray for traveling mercies. When you travel, we believe God's wings are going to cover you. Hallelujah. On the interstate system. There and back. Thou shalt not be afraid of the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. It's going to go all over this world. There are epidemics and pandemics that threaten to sweep the globe. God said there's somebody here set apart. Not a victim of circumstances. There's somebody set apart in Psalm 91. You will not be afraid of the plague. It will not come nigh thy dwelling. No, the air that flieth by day. Somebody want to take you out. No, the pestilence that waste at noonday. All of these things that all the king's horses and all the king's men can't protect you from. God said, I got your back. I got your back because you belong to me and you put your trust in me. And you don't judge God and become a cessationalist because you see so many people defeated around you. I love this. It gets personal. It's about you and God. You and him, not you and them. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 fall at your right hand, it shall not come near to you. If there's 11,000 down and one standing, I want to be that one. How about you? You say, did you hear what happened to brother so-and-so? That's not where my faith is. I don't know where his faith was. I know where mine is. Mine's under the shadow of his wings. Hallelujah. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Can put it on the other one. And I will. This one first and try. All right. I didn't have it on. Glory to God. Are you ready to shout victory before we go home today? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, that makes me smile already. Hallelujah. I like Pamela's screensaver. TV's off too. All right. We're going to try to worship before we close. I don't know where this is going to take me. I don't know if I can take all of you with me. I would love to. I would love to. I would love to see revival. Not just in this church, but in each one of you as individuals. Amen. People that I know. People that I know can do better. People that I know can come to church with enthusiasm. People that I know that can overcome discouragement. People that I know can come with a spirit of excitement. People that I know can do better. People that I've seen do better. People that when you were close to God, you didn't get discouraged. You kept pressing onward and upward. And in fact, you encouraged me because of that. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? John, I want you to know that you're encouragement to me. All you have to do is just show up. And you encourage me. Because I remember when the devil kept you from showing up. But there is something. Sister Couch said it when she left last Sunday. She said there is a stirring in the atmosphere. Amen. I'm still preaching similar stuff. But there's a stirring. There's a stirring in the atmosphere. Can you say amen for those that will receive it? But I can't go back. And I can't wait for somebody to catch up. The only thing I can do, Sean, is go on. Can you say, man, I can't stop. Somebody is going to hear the word. Somebody is going to heed the word. Somebody is going to get saved. Somebody is going to get delivered. Somebody is going to get set free. Somebody is going to get healed. Hallelujah. We're ready.